Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 11, the Word of God says, "No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. No other foundation can anyone lay that has been laid." We have to ask ourselves, because it is extremely consequential in our lives, what kind of a foundation are we working with? Sometimes people will use the things of their past as their foundation. I would say that this is very common, even among Christians. They use their past as their foundation. And they will take what they learned in their past, be it good or bad, successes, failures, what have you, and they will establish this as their foundation. And their thinking and their decisions, their evaluations are based on that foundation. Now, Paul says you cannot lay such a foundation, because that is not the foundation that has been laid. The foundation that has been laid in Revelation 13:8 is the slain lamb. The only foundation that we can build upon is the Lamb of God, the finished work of Christ. That is the foundation that was laid. If I try to build on a foundation such as my past, my foundation is not going to hold up for me. What I build on it will not be a successful, good, solid, lasting structure. Sometimes people keep things in mind that they should forget. They don't try to keep it in mind per se, but they don't try to forget either. In other words, you don't forget by trying. You forget by replacing. And so, somebody, let's say, has had sin in their past, they become saved, and then they continue apart from the sin. However, the sin still affects their life. If they were in an illicit relationship, then the relationships they have, maybe they get married or have children, the relationships they have afterward are affected by whatever illicit relationships they had. Perhaps there's something like a lack of trust or hurt in them. Perhaps there's a self-seeking component. Especially if the people fornicated or got physical in some other way, then their physical relationship can become a thing of self-gratification rather than an expression of God, and this is common. We cannot bring old foundations to a new life. People try to do this. We cannot bring old foundations to a new life. The old foundation will produce the old life. And this happens to some Christians. They have an old foundation, the things of their past, and they bring that into their new life, and they think they are new because they no longer continue in the sins that they had before they were saved. And then they say, "Well, God cleaned me up and I'm a new creature." No, God cleaning you up does not make you a new creature. God cleaning you up would make you a refurbished creature. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 uses the word kainos for new when it talks about the new creature, and it's a newly made creature, brand spanking new. So the old foundation will not give you a new creature. That's why you cannot bring an old foundation into a new life. If you bring your old foundation into the new life, you will not have a renewed mind. Your thinking will remain the same as it was, albeit you will try to apply doctrine to your thinking the way that you would apply a patch to a hole. Well, doctrine is not there to be a patch for a hole. Doctrine is there to become your new mind. A new mind will not come with an old foundation. Nothing new comes out of an old foundation. When a person starts to live with God after getting saved, it's imperative that they build a new foundation. Now, that foundation is the foundation that has already been laid by the Savior. The world was founded, established on that structural foundation, and this is what we build upon. That means that all of our thinking, all of our activity, all of our decisions, all of our consciousness, everything about us stems, emanates from, is based and built upon that new foundation. Not the foundation of sin, not the foundation of the flesh, not the foundation of the world, not the foundation of an old life that God said has passed away. It's a new foundation. I forsake the old foundation, including in my thinking. And then everything that I build will become new. This will become clear, because the old foundation cannot sustain me. The Word of God says it'll be revealed by fire, because God will test each one's work by fire. Fire is not something that happens in heaven. That's not a test at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, as people sometimes think. The testing, the fire, is now. We always must build on that new foundation. Where does that foundation come from? It is the finished work of Christ. Well, in John 17:23, the Word of God says, I in them, and you in me, you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. In verse 24, it continues, you loved me before the foundation of the world. Love came prior, preceded the foundation. Love preceded the finished work of Christ. Love preceded the slaying of the Lamb. The slain Lamb is the structural foundation. The finished work of Christ is the structural foundation. What was the motivation, the reasoning behind it? It was the love of God. It was that God would love us the way that He loves Himself. God was looking for Himself to find someone like Himself. It was not good that man should be alone, is a picture of God. God was alone. And so He established this foundation upon which a new creature could be built like God, but not God. No one can be like God in that sense. But God devised this magnificent plan in Ephesians 2:15 and 16 so that there would be not another version of Him, but someone compatible to Him. And because that person was built on the slain Lamb, on that foundation, the compatibility to God could take place. In Ephesians 1:4, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. The foundation was the base on which the plan was constructed. The foundation included two things. It included the cross, and it included the blood of Christ, the slaying of the Lamb. The cross brings us to His life in Galatians 2:20. The blood brings us to acceptability, to compatibility of a physical sort, you could say, in a spiritual sense. The Word of God, which constructs the cross in me, brings us into compatibility of a mental sort, of a practical sort. So God was looking for someone that did not exist. He constructed that person on this new foundation. In Hebrews 13:12, the Word of God says that Jesus sanctifies people with His own blood. Now remember, in Hebrews 19:14, the sanctification takes place through the blood of Christ in our conscience. So we are sanctified according to our consciousness by the blood of Christ. That means we have no consciousness of sin. Sin has no place with God. If there is a consciousness of sin, then we have no place with God. Yet, at the same time, in order for another being to become like God, the mechanism, the vehicle, was that that person had to become imperfect. If there was one who was imperfect, then he could receive the perfection of Christ. If there was one like the angels who was perfect within himself, he could not receive the perfection of Christ. And so the angels would not serve as those who could become one with him. They had their own perfection. God needed someone who was imperfect so he could impart to that person his nature, his character, his perfection, and he would do it through the Word of God and the blood of the Savior. In that, the new creature is born. In that, we become one person, one new man with Him. When that blood is applied to my conscience, then the last vestiges of sin, which is sin in my mind, in my memory, in my awareness, goes away. That's where forgetting comes. Forgetting of sin comes when the blood is applied to the conscience. If I apply the blood to the conscience, there's no sin for me to be conscious of. In Romans 8:29, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of the Savior. This is how it takes place. It takes place through the Word of God, which washes us, and it takes place through the blood of Christ, which cleanses us. What's the difference? We are washed in our way with God. In other words, our practical decisions are based in the Word of God, and our practical life therefore becomes clean before Him. The blood of Christ applies to the conscience. Yes, it dealt with my sin, but that's already been dealt with. Now God needs to deal with my conscience. And the blood applied to the conscience cleanses the conscience, removes all awareness of sin, whereby the Word of God gives me a clean life with God. The character of God is built in this way. In Luke 11:50, the blood of all the prophets was shed from the foundation of the world. These prophets, and there are modern day people like this too, not just the Old Testament prophets, anybody who carries the Word of God, this actually applies to. Anybody who carries the name of Christ, this can apply to. They become the partakers of both the foundation in the building process and the character of God. In John 15:13, there is no greater love than that a man laid down his life for his friends. So these people whose blood became a part of the foundation, they were the ones who carried the gospel, carried the Word of God, and they spread the Word of God to help establish the eternal plan with all the details and people in the plan. and they establish the character of God in a practical manifestation as they were sacrificed for the plan. This is the nature of the foundation. But we have to learn how to build on that foundation. If we learn how to build on that foundation properly, then what we have will be lasting. If we build on that foundation improperly, then what we build will not stand. We do not want to have a destroyed structure, a building process that is futile. We are left in eternity with what we have built. In verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 3, the Word of God says, "According to the grace of God, I have laid the foundation." And Paul is talking about being a pastor here. And another builds on it. The pastor, and this is the primary job of a pastor, builds the foundation in people's lives. He takes the Word of God and he teaches the full counsel of the Word of God. The basis of all of the Word of God is the finished work. As he is teaching the full counsel of the mind of Christ, he must establish them in the finished work. If he does not establish them in the finished work, he is not building a proper foundation. But it says, according to the grace of God, I have built. According is out of. What is he building? He is building the grace of God. That is the foundation, the finished work. That is the foundation. The manifestation of the finished work is grace. And another builds on it. The other is the person who has received the foundation from a pastor. And then, through their own thinking, through their own decisions, through their own vertical relationship to the Savior, they develop a structure that is built on the foundation that the pastor has laid. And then it continues, but let each one heed how he builds on it. Be careful how you build on that foundation. In Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. The foundation that we build must be sourced in a practical application of God's grace. No other structure can be built on the foundation of the finished work. The foundation must be built upon with grace. If I fail the grace of God, fail means to come short of the grace of God, then a root of bitterness will spring up. A root of bitterness is a bitter fruit. That's what it's referring to. A bitter root produces a bitter fruit. And if I have not built on the foundation of the finished work with grace, then the fruit will be bitter. And then it says, thereby many will be defiled. Why does a person, for example, become negative? Because they have not built on the foundation correctly. They try to build on an old foundation. They try to build, let's say, on relative righteousness, comparing themselves amongst themselves, and they say, well, I'm doing well compared to this one, and I'm not as good as this one, so I have something to aspire to. That's not how you do it. A person, for example, who doesn't love people, They're building on the wrong foundation. If they're impatient or they're unkind or they think evil of people, they're building on the wrong foundation. They're building on an old foundation. The foundation will be manifest by the building if it is new or old. A person who will not forgive, they're building on an old foundation. They'll say, I forgive, but I don't forget. Show me that in the Bible. That's the old foundation. A person who utilizes worldly thinking, or who goes to the tree of knowledge of good and evil and operates by sight rather than by faith, that person is building on an old foundation. If we are going to build on a new foundation, we build it with grace and all that grace is. In Hebrews 6:9, the Word of God says, Beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. There is a better thing, things that accompany salvation. We are persuaded of faith. And if there is faith, in Romans 10:17, it comes by the Word of God. So we receive the Word of God to build on the right foundation. We forgive. We have been forgiven and we forgive. Because we have been forgiven, we are building on the right foundation. We love because we receive love from God. We are building on a right foundation. We look for mercy in Jude 21. In all things, we are building on a right foundation. In Jude 22, we look for God's compassions. We are building on a right foundation. We utilize the blood of Christ with no condemnation in our lives, but letting it cleanse our consciousness of dead works, and those are works of production, works outside of faith. We are building on a right foundation. We utilize the love of God in our life. We receive the patience of God and we are patient. We receive the kindness of God and we are kind. We receive the mind of Christ and we think no evil. We receive the humility of God and we don't puff ourselves up. We're building on a right foundation. We trust God and we don't have to control. We are building on a right foundation. No other foundation can a man build upon than that which has already been laid. We build with grace because grace is the structure that this foundation holds. Everything is grace for the believer's life because the believer has a new foundation. We don't fail the grace of God. In Luke 14:28, which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he have enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. In order to build on the right foundation, I have to be equipped. Sometimes people try to build on that foundation without being equipped. But it's not successful. If I want to think correctly, for example, I have to receive the Word of God. It's not possible to think correctly without receiving the mind of Christ to think with. And so if I want to think correctly, I must receive the Word of God. Sometimes people are lax toward the Word of God, and they don't think correctly. And then they begin to pay the price in things like their self-image or in their emotions, and they get negative. Well, that shows that there was a lack. You started out, you became a believer, you claimed Christianity, you entered into a church, you received some Word of God, but you're saying to yourself, why doesn't it work for me? Well, in some cases, it's because you're not receiving sufficient provision. You may be receiving doctrine, but are you receiving sufficient doctrine to sustain you? It's like saying there's gas in the tank, why did my car run out? Because you didn't put enough in the tank. Next time, instead of putting $5 of gas in the tank for the 500-mile journey, why don't you fill it up? And then you won't run out. But Christians are like that. They receive a pittance of the Word of God, or maybe they're just Sunday morning Christians and that's all they get for the week, and they wonder, why isn't this sustaining me? Because you're not getting enough. Fill up your tank and it'll take you farther. Or maybe they say, I have got the Word of God, but I have trouble because I don't love people, and since I don't love them, I'm often hurt by them. Well, receive the love of God. Look for mercy. Do the things that will build the love of God in you if you want to build the love of God. If I want to build a house, I don't use straw to do it. Sometimes people try to love, but it's an emotional thing. And then somebody doesn't do what they like and they don't love anymore. Well, your love is conditional. You are building it on an old foundation. It's not actually love. Love has to be built on a new foundation because love is of God. But if you try to build love on an old foundation, your love will be very circumstantial and conditional. If things are going your way, if you're getting what you want, you will say, I love. But if you are not getting what you want, you will not love. At times you will become negative. And this, of course, is destructive in our lives. We build on this right foundation. If I want to love, I must receive the love of God. It's that simple. If I don't have that with which to build, then I can't build. I can start by getting the Word of God, but I don't receive the love of God, and I run out of materials to build with. In 1 Timothy 6:19, we lay up in store for ourselves a good foundation against the time to come. What we build will always be tested. What we build will always be tested. In Romans 5 and verse 2, the Word of God says, we enter into grace by faith. But immediately after that, it tells us that tribulations shed the love of God abroad in our heart. What we build will always be tested. Why? Because it solidifies the building. In fact, it gives us opportunities to build for a while. But here's the thing, really. Why what we build must be tested. Because what we build must withstand the blood. What we build must withstand the blood of the Savior. In Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The gold portion of gold, silver, and precious stones speaks of faith. Those three rewards, each stems from the previous one. We build in faith. Well, if I build in faith, then I am not building in something that is sin. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In Revelation 1:5, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Christ removes anything that is sin in Psalm 103:12 from time, space-time. East is from the west. Remember, geographic references of that sort, Einstein showed us, in the principle of creation relativity, those references are talking about space and time. Whatsoever is not of faith will be removed from time. So that which we build must be tested to test whether it is of faith. If it's not of faith, it will be eliminated. This is the foundation. You must build on the proper foundation. This is the foundation. It starts with building on it in faith. So if I am to build on the right structural foundation, I will build on it with grace, and grace starts with faith. It must be tested so that I know that it is of faith, but not only so that I know that it is of faith, so that I will have the opportunity for it to be of faith. Hence, tribulation works patience, patience works experience, experience hope, and hope does not disappoint and will produce the love of God in my heart. It starts with tribulation so that it may be of faith. Easy times, it's easy to not operate in faith. Nothing is challenging me. But when something challenges, then I know if I operated with faith, then I know if I'm building with the right materials, I know if I'm building in grace, if I'm building in faith, which means I'm entering into grace with it, then it will hold. But if I am not, then it will be revealed to me. How is it revealed to me? Anxiety, negativity, fear, anger, frustration, insecurity, all of these different things of the flesh. Sometimes it'll spill over into outward sin. These things are all reflections of having built on the wrong foundation. But there is no other foundation that you can build upon. It has to be the foundation of Christ. The finished work is it. We enter it through faith. And so we enter in to grace. If I enter into grace, I no longer get condemned, and hence I get silver. I no longer am unforgiven in my own thinking, and therefore I can forgive very easily. I don't judge people, I love people. And there I have the precious stones. The right foundation is what has to be built with. In Matthew 3:11, in the B part, he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That fire baptism must come in so that it can operate in faith. Those are my bricks. In Hebrews 6:7, the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near being cursed, whose end is to be burned. This is like the person who builds on the wrong foundation. If you build on the right foundation, you will receive blessings of God. You'll receive the character of God, the love of God. You'll live in the long-suffering patience of God. You'll be drawn by the loving kindness of God. You'll be freed by the blood of the Savior. You'll be able to live with right thinking. You'll be delivered from confusion and insecurity and uncertainty by the Word of God. But if you build on a wrong foundation, it will be rejected. And it'll almost be like being cursed. No, you won't be cursed. You will still go to heaven when you die. But the rejection of that which has been built will be quite real and immediate. Do you think that God has called you to insecurity? Do you think that God has called you to negativity? Do you think that God has called you to accusation? Do you think that God has called you to poor thinking? Do you think that God has called you to frustration? Do you think God has called you to anger? Do you think God has called you to self-orientation? Do you think that God has called you to judging by sight? I would dare say that the vast majority of Christians would say no, certainly not. Then why do people build with those as their foundation? Those things will fail you. Instead, in Hebrews 4:3, we believe and therefore we enter into rest because the works were finished from the foundation of the world. We believe and therefore we enter into rest because we trust the right foundation. We trust the finished work. We trust the grace of God. Sometimes people will claim the grace of God, but they will not trust the grace of God. A person who doesn't trust grace is often revealed by either impatience or lack of endurance. Unkindness will then follow. Evil thinking will then follow. Arrogance will then follow. If I trust the grace of God, then what you do is not personal to me. If I trust the grace of God, I will trust it for my life and I will trust it for yours. I won't be afraid of my circumstances because I trust the grace of God. I won't be afraid of what's going to happen with your life because I trust the grace of God. A person who has learned how to trust the grace of God becomes very confident. Insecurity gets blown right out the window if you trust the grace of God. But if we believe, we trust the grace of God because that is the right foundation. God has established this foundation. The finished work of my Savior. It makes me to be one person with Him. It cleanses me from all sin, including mental sin as well as overt sin. It gives me His thinking. It gives me a place with Him. In fact, it gives me a very intimate place with Him, since in 1 Corinthians 12:27, I become His body. A closeness with God, with a rich fellowship with the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. This is the right foundation. You cannot build on the wrong foundation and have it be successful. It is destined to fail. You can only build with the right foundation. This was what God had prepared for you before He even created that foundation. It was out of His love. In Matthew 25:34, the King will say unto them at His right hand, and that, of course, in Ephesians 2:6 is the born-again believer. And in practicality, the born-again believer building upon the right foundation. Come, you that are blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The eternal plan of God. The foundation. Was that you would inherit a kingdom. It was not that you would live in weakness. It's that you would inherit a kingdom. It was not that you would live in fear. It's that you would inherit a kingdom. It's not that you would live in loneliness. It's that you would inherit a kingdom. It's not that you would live in frustrations of various kinds. It's that you would inherit a kingdom. It's not that you should live in insecurity. It's that you would inherit a kingdom. It's not that you would operate outside of faith. It's that you would inherit a kingdom. There are so many things that sometimes we do to try to build with an old foundation. And then we find in our experience, and sometimes with great confusion, that it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? The foundation is wrong. No structural engineer or builder or architect would build on a foundation that is crumbling. Likewise, we cannot build on the wrong foundation. A solid foundation is required. And then when you have a solid foundation, which is the finished work of Christ, build on it with grace. And then what you have built will remain. If you build on it with anything else, it will be destroyed and you'll be left with nothing. But if you build on it with grace, you'll be left with everything that you've built, because it will sustain you and it will endure in testings. Amen? If you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, if you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, tell Him that you will receive the gift that He's given you, His mercy, and that He has taken your sins away from you. And pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept You as my Savior. I accept Your gift of mercy and what You have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with You now as You come into my heart and live.